Hola amigos, this is Enrique Morones, also known as Bad Hombre. We have a brand new show. It's called Bad Hombre, and it's a show that's brought to you by Border Angels and Davey Boy Productions with Dave Rivas, good friend Dave Rivas, Border Angel Board of Director and actor, voice actor extraordinaire. Dave, how are you? Welcome to Bad Hombre.
I'm doing good. I'm really happy to be here. Thanks for having me. Thanks for letting me be a part of this and being a part of Border Angels. It's all good. Everything we do is for a good cause, and it's just great to be here. I'm glad that we're on the airwaves now, and this is going to be fun. This is going to be great. Great information for people out there.
Absolutely. So this is going back on the air. As you know, Dave, many years ago, I used to have a couple of radio shows. One of them was called Morones por la Tarde. It was in Spanish, 5 days a week from 3 to 5. And then we had another one called On the Record with Enrique, and sometimes On the Record with Enrique and Ralph, my good friend Ralph Inzunza, who will be one of our guests on Bad Hombre. And the idea of Bad Hombre, of course, is to let people know that, yes, Bad Hombre, the phrase that real Bad Hombre that's at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue came up with is something that we're going to take and run with, because we need to speak out. We cannot be silent. And like Heather told us and taught us, the victim from what happened in Charlottesville, Virginia, if you're not outraged, you're not paying attention. And we, the Border Rangers, are paying attention, and we are outraged about what is taking place right now. We need to have a forum where we could speak truth to power, not be silent, rise up, invite guests, talk about what is happening, and the fact that one day our grandkids, our kids are going to say, what did you do when that madman was at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue? And I want to be able to say, we took action. We rose up and we said, this is not acceptable. We need to make a change. And only with love can you overcome hate. And that's why we want to have this weekly podcast.
Weekly at high noon. What day is this going to drop every week?
It's going to be at high noon on Mondays. We want to have the podcast starting off with 30 minutes and eventually 1 hour. And we're going to have a lot of guests. And I will be here as the host of the show most of the time. Sometimes I will not be here, and hopefully you, Dave, can step in, or some of our many colleagues from Border Angels can step in, just the way that I used to do it with my show, Morones por la Tarde, or On the Record with Enrique, and Enrique with Ralph sometimes, because there's a lot is happening right now. We need to be loud. We need to rise up. We cannot be silent. Because if you're silent, it almost means that you agree with what is going on. And that's why I'm so glad to have seen and participated in the Women's March, the Science March, voted on November 8th, even though my candidate, Bernie Sanders, wasn't on the ticket. We cannot be silent, because when you're silent, we have seen what happened on November 8th. And the whole world is laughing at us as in U.S. and us as a people. But this joke named Donald Trump is a very dangerous joke, and he's somebody that can cause a lot of damage with a tweet, saying the wrong word, taking the wrong action, and we cannot allow that to happen. That's why it's so important for us to have this this podcast every week.
Okay, yeah, so you can see there's a lot going on, and there's a lot to discuss. But let's go back for just a second for listeners that have never heard us before. Well, we've never been on before, but who don't know who Enrique Morones is, or who don't know what the Border Angels are. So let's just start with who is you're with the Border Angels, and who are they? What do they do?
So the Border Angels is an organization that I had the honor of starting 31 years ago in November of 1986. And it's a faith-based group. It's an all-volunteer organization. There's only 5,000 volunteers or so. And when we started back in 1986 here in San Diego, in Carlsbad, because a good friend of mine from El Salvador said, Enrique, you're oftentimes collecting things like a lot of people do, clothes and food and things like that. How about doing that for people where I live? And I said, Yolanda, where do you live? And she said, Carlsbad. And I go, Carlsbad? That's a wealthy area. I grew up in Golden Hill, which is a working class neighborhood. There's a lot of needy people there. And she said, well, in Carlsbad, there's people that live in the canyons. And that's how Border Angel started. I started going to those canyons back in 1986. First just me, and then other people joined me. And we started bringing food and ministering to the people there. Ministering in the sense of saying, are you okay? You know, is there things that we can help you with? How do you get your mail? You know, where do you go to, you know, find out about your rights, et cetera. And in the early 90s, I moved away from San Diego, the city where I was born here in San Diego, and I went to Los Angeles. When I was living in Los Angeles, that's when this terrible incident that caught the world's attention took place, and that was the beating of Rodney King by the Los Angeles Police Department. When that happened, I said what we're saying now on this show, rise up, do not be silent. So we did a big event at Los Angeles called Reencuentro to bring people together. We're all the same race, the human race. In the event, it was the idea of my good friend Armando Charles, who I hope he's okay. He lives in Houston, Texas. So Armando, Magda, and myself, we put together this event. It was a huge success. We had more than 10,000 people there. And at that event, we wanted to honor a hero of ours named Cesar Chavez. He passed away, and his wife came, Elena Chavez. And she brought a person that I was very excited to meet, and she's a hero of mine, and her name is Ethel Kennedy. And Mrs. Kennedy asked me why I avoided the media. She had heard about the work that we were doing. And I said, Mrs. Kennedy, I just want to do the right thing. But she was one of the persons that taught me that you need to speak out. You need to talk to the media because that's how people will find out about what you're doing. And people across the world want to do the right thing. Yes, there are a few bad hombres, but people want to do the right thing. And if you tell them what you're doing, maybe they'll want to join you. And that's when we shifted our method of operation and started coming out in the media. I moved back down to San Diego in 1994, and that was a watershed year in immigration. You had Proposition 187, which was spearheaded by the former mayor of San Diego, Governor Pete Wilson. You had the North American Free Trade Agreement, which allowed commerce to cross border, but not people. And those people were the ones that were affected by Proposition 187 because it was scapegoating the migrants, not allowing them the children to go to school or receive health care. You had an uprising in southern Mexico saying, hey, we all have rights too. The Zapatista movement and Subcomandante Marcos. So 187, NAFTA, the Zapatistas. And the fourth thing that happened in 1994 was the United States, which in the 1980s had said, through President Reagan, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall, referring to the Berlin Wall. Well, in 1994, the United States started building its own wall, Operation Gatekeeper. And because of that wall, which started right here in San Diego at Friendship Park, we've had 11,000 people that have died. The wall covers a third of the U.S.-Mexican border, which is 2,000 miles. A third of it, approximately 700 miles, has wall. And people go around, over, and under the wall because it's the only way they can come into the country. There's no visas for them. There's no line for them. So when we saw that people were dying out in the desert, that's when we started going out to the desert to place water. We started doing this around 1996. We still didn't have a name. At that time, I worked in professional baseball with the San Diego Padres. I'd go out with some of the players, and we'd put water. And my last year in baseball was 2001, and I was invited to a very popular Spanish-language television show, the most popular in the history of television, called Sábado Gigante. And when I came out on that stage in Miami, Florida, the host, Don Francisco, said, El Ángel de la Frontera, or the Border Angel. And I thought, that's a good name for the group. That's how we got our name, and the rest is history. Border Angels has grown from one person back in 1986 to more than 5,000 volunteers today. And instead of having 30 or 40 volunteers to go out to put water in the desert, like you've joined us on several occasions, Dave, now we have 400 and 500 volunteers joining us on the third Saturday of each month, and that's just too many. So we say, no, we got to have guidelines for this because people are upset. People are upset about Donald Trump and his, you know, the insanity of it all, and we need to rise up, thus, Bad Hombre.
That's great. And so now, besides the water drops you go out so often per month, what are some of the other things that Border Angels does? I know you stop by to see the day workers, see if they're doing okay.
Right. So we set up a schedule because some of the leadership in Border Angels, which is becoming more and more active, which is our youth, has said, Enrique, we need to have a regular schedule for activities. So the first Saturday of each month, we have day labor outreach. and it's headed by a fellow board of directors member, like you're a board of directors, Dave, Osvaldo Ruiz. And Osvaldo, who's a student, he takes a group out every first Saturday, and we go out and visit the day laborers, most of them standing in front of various Home Depots. And that's grown from going to from one to two Home Depots on that first Saturday. Now we go to four or five cities on the first Saturdays. We do day laborers here in San Diego. Another group goes to North County. Another group goes to Orange County. Another group goes to Los Angeles, the Santa Ana area. And another group goes to San Bernardino. So you have these areas being covered by various Border Angel volunteers on the first Saturday of the month. On the second weekend, either Saturday or Sunday, we do a cultural event at Friendship Park. Sometimes it's something like the performing of the play Letters from the Wall, which you wrote and directed. And you could recall that one of the first times that it was performed, the first time it was ever performed bi-nationally, was right there at Friendship Park.
Yep.
So the idea is to do something cultural at Friendship Park that second weekend. It could be bi-national yoga, bi-national concert, bi-national soccer clinic, bi-national race, et cetera. The third weekend, we do the water drop. We do the water drop the third weekend of the month on Saturday, and that is headed by our water drop leader, Jackie Arellano, who's doing a great job. And for the water drop or the day labor, you need to contact these leaders so they know you're coming and we can get the appropriate preparations for those people that want to join us. And then the fourth weekend, we do an extreme water drop. You got to be in really good shape to do that extreme water drop. You or I would not be able to do it because the people that go out and do it are like Navy SEALs. I mean, they're in super, super good shape. And we have to have a screening process to make sure that they can do it, because the last thing we want to happen is somebody that wants to do a, you know, volunteer with us get hurt out there and so forth. This is very serious work that we're doing. And we know we are saving lives. We're going through thousands of gallons of water on the water drops. Tragically, because of Trump, we have seen that his hate words have led to hate actions. Our water bottles are sometimes slashed. We've had unwelcoming phone calls and messages and so forth. But we will not be silent. We will rise up. Like Heather taught us, if you're not outraged, you're not paying attention. And we are outraged. We are outraged. So those are the regular activities of the Border Angels. But we also have every Tuesday at our office at 6 o'clock, immigration attorneys that offer free advice. On the first Sunday of each month, we have immigration attorneys at Friendship Park that offer free advice to people that have been deported. And we have lots of people join us throughout the month, universities, churches, synagogues, temples. And they say, you know, I want to join you for a day or two. So we might go visit Chicano Park and look at the mural that was recently commissioned by Border Angels, which was painted by Salvador Barajas, which talks about love has no borders, no border wall. We're doing a brand new mural, which it says Amor si se puede with La Virgen de Guadalupe, where we're going to have Chunky Sanchez on that mural. And so we have a lot of other types of activities that we do throughout the month. And the reason we're so successful, Dave, as you know, is because of our volunteers and our interns. We have interns from all over the world. We get them from Europe, from Mexico, from the United States, high school and college, and we're always looking for more support.
The interns and the volunteers are amazing. If it weren't for the volunteers, they run everything. We have the schedule. The Border Angels has the schedule, but it's the volunteers that really do all the legwork and getting what needs to be done, and they're just fantastic. I wanted to bring up really quick the website that people can go to find out about these events is www.borderangels.org. And really quick, if you want to give them the mailing address, and we'll mention it later.
Absolutely. I'll give the mailing address, and maybe you can mention the social media. The mailing address, our office is located at 2258 2258 Island Avenue in Sherman Heights at the Sherman Heights Community Center. And our mailing address is P.O. Box 86598. That's 86598, San Diego, California, 92138. That's where the Border Angels mailing address is. And the phone number is 619-487-0249. 619-487-0249. And either our general manager, Dulce Aguirre, who does a tremendous job, and she's been with Border Angels for several years. She's a college student. Or Carla, who's the office manager, will answer the phone. And she's also with the Border Angels, as are a team of interns that are joining us or other volunteers, because people oftentimes want to bring things to the office. They heard about our SOS program in Baja California, which is headed by Hugo Castro, Border Angels Mexico, and of course, Gaba Cortez and Valeria Buelna. And Hugo and Valeria are on our board of directors. Valeria has the Bridges to Education program. Hugo leads the SOS Migrante program. Gaba leads the cultural events at Friendship Park, El Parque de la Amistad on the Mexican side. So we have a whole team of volunteers and leaders. And then we also have all of these social media sites. I don't even know how to call them. So maybe you can mention them, because I don't know anything about this social media.
You're not a real social media guy, but we do have a Facebook page, and we are on Instagram. We're also on Twitter at Border Angels_Angels. And we are on
Snapchat.
We're on Snapchat at Border Angels SD. We have a YouTube page, Border Angels, the Border Angels channel. Now, let me get back to the website. On that website, you can also leave an email for you or Dulce if you want to hook up with one of these activities. There's just a general info.
Yes, that's right. There's general information. And one of the things that we're looking for right now, and we want to announce it on Bad Hombre, we're looking for somebody to help us with the website. So those of you that have website skills, we're looking for somebody right now.
Yeah.
We have a person that's been doing a good job, and we in getting overwhelmed and his commitments are growing, so we're really looking for somebody to help us with the website, help us with our social media. We had some students doing that, and they've gone back to school. We had a couple of students that we have every summer from Berea College in Kentucky. They send different students every summer, and this year Olivia and Alberto already went back to Kentucky. We had another student that was really helping us out tremendously, and I know you've met them all, Sequoia. She's originally from Belgium, but she lives in France, and she's studying to be an immigration attorney, so she interned with the Border Angels, spending a day or two with the board president, Eduardo Orendain, who's an immigration attorney. So she would go down and visit with Eduardo's office and help out there. But now she's back in France. And we have some new interns joining us, as we do every school year, from King Chavez, from High Tech High, and several college students. And we're always looking for those people to help us. And you might say, well, you know, I can't spend a whole summer or a whole semester, but maybe you could spend a week or two and join us. We'll find what your niche is and help develop it, whether it's social media, whether it's art, because, you know, we do a lot of art projects. Maybe it's the theater, and then we could hook them up with some of the projects that you're doing. And that's what I wanted to talk about a little bit, is tell us about some of the projects that you're working on, because I know that Letters from the Wall now is competing with the best-selling book called The Power of One. Now there's a new book out there.
The Power of One.
And maybe you can get a two-for-one special.
The Power of One, great, great book. That's where you can read about the starfish story. And that book and our host here, Enrique Morones, is the inspiration behind a project I started working on a few years back. Enrique contacted me. As he mentioned, we do events at the Border Wall in Friendship Park. And since I'm involved with the theater, I'm an actor, I'm a voiceover guy, I'm a sound tech. I'm actually the sound tech and engineer for this show, Davey Boy Productions. He asked me if I'd be interested in producing a binational play, because, you know, we have yoga, we've had mariachis down there, they have mass on the weekends. We recently had our first binational concert, which has been in the talks for a long time, and we just finally had it a couple weeks ago in Tijuana. But, you know, why not a play? And I thought, that's a fantastic idea. How can we do that? And it's going to be right there at the Border Wall. So I thought, you know, what kind of play would we do? And, I didn't think it could be like a contemporary play like Hamilton or Guys and Dolls or something like that. It had to be something specific about the topic and about the people that are there. Since in Border Angels, we hear so many tragic stories and we get so many tragic, heartfelt letters and emails about things that people have really lived through and experienced and are trying to get over but can't. We decided to take those stories and do a play about that. Now, working with the Border Patrol on getting this done, they told me that I would have 30 minutes on a Saturday afternoon to do this play. And I'm like, well, gosh, that's not a whole lot of time to do a full play. And there's so many things to talk about. How do we squeeze all that in to 30 minutes? And there's so many different groups to represent. So I thought, well, let's do this. I have some experience in doing short plays, 10-minute plays. So let's do 10 minutes on this topic, 10 minutes on a topic relating to these people, and 10 minutes on something else. And since we get all these stories in forms of letters and emails and stories we hear firsthand or actually witness, we decided to do them in the form of letters. And so I thought I'd just call it, well, these are the stories of letters from the wall. And we did it on November 21st, 2015. And that was the first time we did the play. We started out with three stories. And it was a binational event, and it was amazing. I had a group of actors on the United States side, and we had a group of actors in the Tijuana Playas side, right there up against the wall. We couldn't do the play on the American side right up against the wall because the Border Patrol told me that they didn't like the subject matter of my play, which was basically the hardships from families that deal with the border wall and our status quo and immigration issues. And they didn't like the title of the play, Letters from the Wall. They didn't like that. They said I could change the name of the play to Letters from Friendship Park. And I said, well, you know, it's really not about letters from Friendship Park. It's about letters that come from that wall. And I said, I'm not going to change my play. And they said, well, they also said that you could, we don't like the subject matter. We don't like the stories you're telling, because I had to show it to them. I had to show them the material I was going to do. They said, well, we don't like that. You can do topics on folklore or Latino and Mexican heroes and that type of thing. And I said, no, that's not interesting to me. I want to do something about this topic. And they said, well, you can't do it right at the wall, then at the border fence. And so we had to do it about 50 feet away in Monument Park and under a canopy, which was nice because there was place for people to sit down there. And instead of having an actor interactive play where actors on the U.S. side would say a line and then actors on the Tijuana side would say a line, we weren't able to do that way because the Border Patrol wouldn't let us. So what we did is we just did a version in English and a version in Spanish at the same time on both sides of the border. And it was an international event and it was amazing. And I found out from that moment on, from the way I felt sharing these true stories, every word in these stories are absolutely true about people that we interact with daily at Border Angels. I found out from the way I felt and the reaction of the audience that I would be doing these plays and adding more stories till the day I die or until there's no more wall or no more border issues. And I don't see that coming anytime soon. We're working on it, but you know, that's not likely to happen in the near future. So I know I'm going to be busy with this project for a long time. Since that day, as soon as we finished the first performance, the audience just interacted with, you know, that story reminds me of what happened to me or my dad or my parents, or I know a person that I work with that went through something like that. And not only Latino people are the ones that come forward. That very first performance, there were people from Germany, and they were telling me that they could relate to the stories. Since then, I've spoken to people from Ireland, from even Canada, from Australia, who all related to the stories I tell. And like, for instance, that day we did a story on deported veterans, which a lot of people don't even know exist. These are people that served in the United States Armed Forces. They were permanent residents, but they didn't have They weren't American citizens. So for some reason or another, after their service, they got into some trouble. They got pulled over or drunk driving or whatever the reason was. They got in trouble by the law. One was cashing a check that was a fraudulent check, not that he wrote, but the person that wrote it to him. They end up in court, and then they find out about their status. And then the next thing you know, they're deported to their country of the place of their birth. And even though they served in the United States military, they don't get any breaks on that. So we have deported veterans that live in Mexico. Another story was about a family that crossed over and got separated, and half the family was on the Mexico side, and the other family grew up on the United States side, and they were reunited at the opening of the wall, which we want to talk about when we open the wall. I want to talk about that in a second, just to say goodbye, because after all the years had passed, one of the family members on the Mexico side was dying of a disease. And these are, again, all true stories. The plays have since then been performed at functions, at dinners. Every time we do these stories, people come forward from the audience and say a few things. They say, "I didn't know that was real." Or they say, "Wow, that can't be true." Or they say, "Thank you. You changed me today by your stories." And then they also invite me to a function of theirs where we can do these stories. And the great thing about it is, since they're 10-minute stories, people pick and choose, you know, which stories they liked and which stories, how many they can do at their functions. So San Diego High School has been the one group outside of my actors that have performed the play. Now Coronado School of the Arts and another high school, I can't remember the name of that high school right now. They're teaming up to do a co-production in February, and we'll have more about that in future shows, of my play, Letters from the Wall. It's also currently at the publishers right now. The first draft, volume one of Letters from the Wall, is being transformed into a book. And hopefully we'll see that soon on the bookshelves and bookstores by the end of the year. But that's just one of the many things that have come out of my working with Border Angels. And when I got on board with Border Angels, it was because we did a play, Detained in the Desert, which was a play written by Josefina Lopez. And it was based on the work of Enrique and the Border Angels, as well as a protest to the Arizona SB 1070 law about how law enforcement can ask whoever they want for documentation. And the protest is, well, who are they going to ask? They're going to ask people with dark skin. You know, they're not going to ask people from Australia or London or Canada or England. They're going to ask people with dark skin what their status is. And so this play was in protest to that. And I played the role that was based on Enrique. And that's where we really got to know each other more. When you asked me what, you know, if I'd like to be on board, I thought, well, how can I help? I'm just an actor. I believe in the stuff we do, but I don't know how I can help. And you just kind of said, just come in and, you know, follow your heart. And that's what I've done. I've documented the things I've seen. I've made videos of them. I've taken pictures. I've written them down. And then I've brought that back. And, you know, I present videos and photo montages at our dinners and stuff like that. And now I've written a book and a play, and it's taking me all over the place, and it's just a wonderful thing. And I'm really, really thankful to be a part of the Border Angels, and thank you so much for changing my life.
I wanted to, first of all, thank you, Dave, for everything that you've done and that you're doing. And we're so glad that we have you on the board of directors and the person that's helped us with both of our books, another board of director, former president of the Border Angels board, Dr. Ricardo Griswold del Castillo, who used to be chair of Chicano Studies, and he'll be a guest on this show in the future. He's actually launching another podcast that we have called The Border Angel Hour, and that's going to be done with Maria Garcia on another network. So we do have and one of the stories that was very moving, and one of the more moving letters in Letters from the Wall, is something that we haven't mentioned that we do every 6 weeks, which is go to a cemetery where there's hundreds of undocumented people buried that are unidentified, and we do different activities to remind us that no son olvidados. Even though we don't know their name, they're just as important as everybody else. And we have the letter from Marcelino Martin where he passed away and his mom is thanking us for our work, even though her son died. And these stories are so important. People need to hear these stories, whether it's in Letters from the Wall, whether it's in the Border Angel Power of One book, whether it's in the Letters from the Wall book, whether it's joining the Border Angels, because one of the things that happens with all of these volunteers is when they're out there volunteering with us, they have experiences and they say, now I know what my uncle went through, my parents, when I was little, they crossed me, et cetera. So stay tuned, because we're going to have this Bad Hombre show on Mondays, high noon. As you can see, we have so much more to share, but we wanted to introduce you to a little bit about the Border Angels, who Dave Rivas is, who I, Enrique Morones, am, and welcome you to this podcast, Bad Hombre, because it's never been more important to rise up and not be silent.
Great. And I just want to say Davey Boy Productions is at DaveyBoyProductions.com. And if you want to speak to this show, ask questions, or if you want to connect with Border Angels, go on one of the events or contribute or get involved. Once again, they're located at the Sherman Heights Community Center at 2258 Island Avenue in San Diego, California, 92102. Post Office Box 86598, San Diego, California, 92138. You can call them at 619-487-0249 or email for general information at info@borderangels.org. Once again, the website is www.borderangels.org. This is Bad Hombre. I'm Dave Rivas, and we've been speaking to Enrique Morones, our host and founder of Border Angels. And we hope you listen and spread the word and come back to visit us next Monday at noon.
Once again, if you're not outraged, you're not paying attention. So, Dave, thank you very much for joining us and
thank
for
you.
Helping us in producing with Davey Boy Productions this Bad Hombre podcast with the voice of San Diego. It will be every Monday at high noon.